Well, you know, I don't make a big deal out of my birthday. I've had way too many of them to keep celebrating, so it's like if I had a cake with all the candles on there, I'd have to call the fire department just to make sure I didn't burn down the house. So anyway, thank you, Jackie, for that. I didn't forget. So welcome on this wonderful snowy Sunday. Somebody told me this was the best Sunday of the week, so I think it probably is. So as we go on with my study, keep in mind that we're talking about finishing strong. You know, as we approach the end times, I think we're very close to the rapture. I don't know God's mind, but if you look at everything that's going on, I think it all points to that. So it's extremely important as we come to the end that we finish strong. We certainly don't want to end up somewhere out in left field. So last week we talked about discernment, and it's extremely important that we have spiritual discernment so we know what's going on around us. And today I'm talking about being lukewarm, a lukewarm Christian. And we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 19 in a minute. But I preached a sermon probably 15 or 20 years ago titled, Convenient Christianity Produces Casual Christians. And today I think we can add lukewarm to that and say convenient Christianity produces lukewarm Christians. So I looked up convenient, and this is really interesting. Convenient means to be well suited to one's purpose or needs, conducive to ease and comfort. So if we're looking at convenient Christianity, it just means we do enough to be comfortable with. When I was doing this, was reminded of a story I heard a long time ago about a lumberjack that got saved. And he went back to work on Monday, and the pastor was really concerned, praying for him. He says, you know, in them lumber camps, it gets pretty rough and tumble. And he said, I don't know how, you know, they're going to deal with him. So he prayed for him. So the following Sunday came, and the lumberjack come in, and pastor said, boy, I'm glad to see you're still walking. And, you know, he says, I was concerned that you would have trouble when everybody found out that you accepted Christ. And he said, oh, it's no problem, pastor. They never found out. So casual Christians, convenient Christianity, right? So, casual, without intention or plan, haphazard, offhand, negligent, or unconcerned. So when you look around at some casual Christians, you can see that fits their MO. Modus operandi. All right, so let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would be here this morning. Help us to understand and to see what you have for us. I just would ask, Father, that you would set me aside and let the Holy Spirit speak through me always, that your word would be glorified and that it would not come back to you empty. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone here. All this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, if you have your Bible there. And we know that this is a little background on this. This is the Lord speaking to the church at Laodicea. And of course, it's done through John, who is writing this. Now, John wrote this in about, as near as I can tell, 96 AD, and Domitian, I think that was his name, was the emperor of Rome. Domitian, I think. I don't know how you pronounce it. Anyway, he was the very first emperor that declared himself to be God. Now, they all, while he was alive, I guess we need to throw that in there, most of them all got that title after they were dead and gone, but he decided he was God. Now, he ran a edict around the Roman Empire that says you got to worship him. Well, the Jewish converts were exempt from that because the Jews had a theocracy where the Romans had, I don't know how many, lots of gods. But converted Christians were required to worship the emperor, Caesar. So in Laodicea, it was a very, very wealthy town and a very wealthy church. So there was a lot of people in that church that had to decide, much like what's going to happen with the Mark of the Beast, they had to decide whether they wanted to come down on the side of prosperity or to come down on the side of Jesus. That was the plan that was in effect. If you wanted to be continue in your prosperity and making money and selling and buying and all this kind of stuff, you had to worship the emperor. So it was that situation that prompted the Lord to say they became lukewarm. So let's take a look at what Jesus had to say to them, starting in verse 14. He said, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." There's that word that John's been talking about all this time. He says, repent of where you are. So I think that as we see some of this come down toward the end times, and we see the mark of apostasy, if you want to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and Paul said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So we see toward the end times that there's going to be many, many churches or many people that are going to fall into the category that the Laodiceans were in, being lukewarm. So I thought about some things. Was the Laodicean church always lukewarm? You know, did they go from cold to lukewarm, or did they go from hot to lukewarm? And I think everything that I found would produce the answer that they went from hot to lukewarm. So, you know, if they can do it, we can do it. True. If they can decide that following God is not as important as some of the other things in the world, we certainly can fall there. We know that Paul talked about one of his cohorts that deserted him and said he loved the world more than he loved the Word of God. And so we know that we can fall the same way. We can all go that way. So I think they were hot at one time, and because of some of the circumstances that come in their life as a church, that they chose a direction that was opposite of what God would have them do. And so it's easy, I believe, if we start following strange teachings, for us to fall away also. So it's a matter of continual prayer and supplication from God and the Holy Spirit to keep us on the right path so that we don't fall. All right, so as the end times come, it's going to be more and more evident. So why does God not like lukewarm? And I thought about this, and I thought, you know, lukewarm goes back to a sermon I heard many, many years ago about fence sitters. We have people that sit on the fence. They got one leg on one side, one leg on the other, and they lean whichever way the wind blows. God doesn't like us to be fence sitters. When I used to teach my Sunday school class, I had a good illustration on one Sunday. And I said, you know, at one end of the spectrum, we have pure white light of God, right? And on the other end of the spectrum, we have pure dark blackness of Satan. And so in between those two are shades of gray. You know, as you move from black and you start going toward white, the shades of gray get wider and wider and wider. Well, I think a lot of times we like to play in the gray area. We don't, certainly not going to play down here in the blackness, because that's Satan and we're not going to do that. We're uncertain whether we really want to play up here in the white light of God, because He demands certain things of us if we're gonna dwell there. There's things we need to do. So we say, oh, it's okay. I'll just kind of vacillate here in the gray area. Sometimes I mean a little darker gray, and then sometimes I'm a little lighter gray. And that is what God is talking about being lukewarm. That's what it comes down to. So why does He not like that? And I thought, you know, if you're cold, if you're an absolutely cold person, God has the ability through the Holy Spirit to reach you. If you're a hot person in relationship to His holiness, He doesn't need to do anything. But if you're lukewarm, then it's a hard, hard place for Him to do anything. Remember, we talked about it. When you're lukewarm, you just live haphazardly. You're unconcerned. You say, I've got enough to get me to heaven. Right? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Oh, God doesn't send anybody to hell, you know. I'm okay. I've done good, and I go to church, and so I'm good. I'm on my way. If you want to see the definition and I'll probably get in trouble with this, but it's okay, I'm going to say it anyway. If you want to see the definition of lukewarm, come to a Wednesday night service. And then you go, where is everybody? When the funeral was here, we said, had 204 people, and I told Brother Jason, I said, boy, wouldn't it be nice to see this on Wednesday night? 204 people in here on Wednesday night. What a deal. So we see this lukewarmness. You can ask yourself, would I rather watch as the world turns or some other soap opera or go to church? You know, that's where we have to be. We have to look at what's going on around in the world. Would you rather watch the Super Bowl or listen to the preacher? It's important. You know, we go and we think, oh, I can play in the gray area, I'm okay. But you have to remember, when you're in the gray area, you're susceptible to the wiles of Satan. We talked last week about doctrines of demons and cosmic battle that's going on. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. We don't understand what playing in the gray area means. And I thought about it, and I said, what is the reason for people to act, or for few people to act like they're Christians, I think, is that they don't think like Christians. You know, they don't see playing in the gray area as a big deal. So Christ is our example. If you want to know how to live your life while you're here and you don't want to be lukewarm, who do you pattern your life after? You don't pattern it after the pastor or after me or WT or somebody else. You pattern your life after Christ. He's our example. And when I was doing that, I was thinking, how do we pattern our life after Christ? And it was just apparent to me, we have to have the mind of Christ. If you want to live a victorious Christian life and not become lukewarm, you have to have the mind of Christ. So where do you find the mind of Christ? It's pretty simple. It's in this book. Right? We talk about that. If we want to finish strong, like Paul said, I've finished my race. I've done what the Lord wanted me to do. He had the mind of Christ. So if we don't want to become a lukewarm Laodicean, we need to have that very same thing. We need to be driven by that. You know, our behavior results from our values and our beliefs. Would you say that? Our behavior results from our values and beliefs. Things that we believe, things that we value, that directs our behavior, right? You know, if I said, Jay, whoever's red car is in the parking lot just got hit by the snowplow, how many people would get up to go see if it was their red car? You know, we value things, and that adjusts how we believe. So when we look at being lukewarm, we need to realize we need to value the Word of God as important as anything else in the world. In fact, more important than anything else. You know, there's too many people today that they have their family first and then their country second, and Christianity comes down the road someplace. And we have to adjust that belief. We have to have the mind of Christ if we don't want to become lukewarm. There was a study done not too long ago, and in that study they asked people what was the most important goal in their life. And these people that they asked were born-again Christians, what we would consider evangelicals. And of all the ones that they interviewed, no one said that the single most important goal in life is to be a committed follower to Christ. And I think that tells us something about lukewarmness. Why do we see, you know, like I think I shared with you, there's a church in Butte, I won't name the denomination, but they have a lot of doors on the building and they're all painted a different rainbow color. So why have people gone there? Why do we see what's happening in the world today with all this garbage? And I can't use any other word than garbage that we see on TV and hear every day. You know, this trans stuff and yada, yada. Why have people gone there? And it's simply because, of course, if you're unsaved, we know why that is. Satan has control. But if you're a Christian, a born-again Christian, and you believe this stuff, you really need to look at what you're doing. If you look at the Democratic platform, it says that they approve abortion up to birth. Well, I don't understand how a Christian could be a part of that and still claim to know Christ. I that boggles my mind. I just don't accept it. So if we don't want to follow that pattern, and I'm sure there's probably a lot of born-again Christians, and we know that, you know, once saved, always saved, it isn't necessarily how we pursue all these goals that get us to heaven. It's the fact that we repented and asked Christ to come into our life. But that should make a difference. It should make a difference. Paul said, "Behold, all things are new. The old has passed away." So it should make a difference when we accept Christ. So if we want to make sure we don't travel down the path of lukewarmism, we need to make sure that we stay close to the Lord. I said last week when we were talking about discernment, if we want to stay close to Christ, we need to hang on to his leg just like a little three-year-old would when they were growing up and you got to walk them around the house. That's what we need to do. You know, you think about that and you say, well, that's kind of stupid. But it really shows our intent to stay close to the Lord. It's the most important thing we can do. So that's why God doesn't like lukewarm. Does being lukewarm keep us out of heaven? And we said, I just said that, that's the answer to that is no. But certainly, Paul said some people are going to come into heaven by fire. Well, I always used to laugh and I'd say, yeah, you're landing at the airport with a yellow alert. The crash trucks are out there spraying foam on the runway. And your feathers are on fire when you land. I don't believe that that's really how we want to be seen when we get there. I don't think we want a smell of smoke and fire when we greet the Lord. I think I would rather have him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," than have a fire extinguisher and he's squirting me with it. We have to have the mind of Christ. We have to think like he thinks. We have to act like he acted. And that's a very, very hard thing to do. And, you know, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. We all are on that trip. We all fall. Somebody said to me, the big thing we have to remember is if we fall down 9 times, we get up 10. Right? We keep on keeping on. Betty said this morning, she says, we're hanging in there. I think, oh no, it was Sharon said it. My brain doesn't work sometimes. We're hanging in there. We need to hang in there. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about perseverance, and that's hanging in there. So if we want to have the mind of Christ, we don't want to become lukewarm. So we need to seek God's face and pray. Of all the things we do, we had last year's theme was praying always, never stop. I know that Park said sometimes, he says he prays that God will allow him to not do the things that he's going to have to keep him out of sin before the sin comes. So in order to do that, and that's really good because that's having the mind of Christ. So we have to read our scripture. We have to pray. We have to let the Lord lead us. And then we have to apply. We can have all the knowledge in the world, and it means nothing if we don't apply it to our life. Right? I mean, it's all nothing. You can know every last thing, and if you don't apply it, it doesn't work. It's kind of like having a set of chains for your car. If you keep them in the trunk, they don't help. Right, you got to put them on the tires, and then you get some help. So you have to apply what we learn. And who is it that helps us apply what we learn? It's the Holy Spirit, right? You know, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send a helper to you. And for years, I you know, didn't understand why he didn't just help. But, you know, some years ago I figured that one out. The Lord is like us now. He's a person, right? He was born a baby, raised. He's still a person. He's going to be a person when we get to heaven. He's limited to where he can be. Now, we know he can go through walls. That's not a big deal, but he can. If he was going through a wall in Jerusalem, he couldn't be going through a wall in my house. He'd have to have one or the other. So he says, I'm going to go away and send somebody that's going to live with you and guide you and direct you and interpret my word to you. And that's the person of the Spirit, right? He is the one that helps us apply what we learn. Pastor's talking about memorizing verses so that the Holy Spirit can bring them to your mind when you need them. So we need to let the Holy Spirit work through our lives, apply what we learn. We need to have him keep us close. So a lot of people say, well, I depend on my conscience to keep me out of trouble. Can you depend on your conscience to keep you out of trouble? That's a trick question. It all depends on where your conscience is, right? Before we were saved, my conscience was probably non-existent. And since we get saved and then we grow, our conscience becomes more active in our life, in the good things. But it can be seared, just like we can destroy our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Our conscience can be seared. We can get to the point where our conscience doesn't give us the correct answers. We can get to the point where we so abuse the Holy Spirit that he won't deal with us any longer. We don't want to be there. I think this is where some of the Laodiceans found error, was that they weren't depending upon all of that. They were depending upon their worldly decisions to keep them healthy and wise. And we cannot do that. So I think any of us, if we're going to be lukewarm, it just means that we are not following in the steps of Jesus. We don't have the mind of Christ. I don't believe the person that does would ever be lukewarm. So we need to not ignore our conscience, but we have to let the Holy Spirit deal with us so that we don't go down the wrong road. And we remember that Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So we don't depend upon those things. We have to depend upon the mind of our Lord. He's our guide. He is the one that keeps us out of trouble. He keeps us from playing in the gray area, right? We always want to, in our life, move more toward the pure white light of the Lord, of God. That should be our goal. And, you know, we fall short sometimes. We backtrack one step forward, two steps back sometimes. But that's just because we don't apply what we know to our life. You know, I've said it before. I said, we all know the words. Anybody that's been a Christian for any amount of time, we know the words. We know what Christ wants us to do. We know what Christ expects us to do. We all know those. But putting them into practice becomes difficult because of our old nature. We start saying, well, yeah, if I dabble over here, it's not going to be that big of a thing. Besides, Scripture says it's not a problem. You know, it's like somebody said once. They said, "Well, will smoking cigarettes send you to hell?" And the answer is no. It'll just make you smell like you've been there. You know, so no, these things won't send you to hell, but they aren't going to help you live a victorious life. Now, I would venture every Christian, if you asked them, would say, yeah, I would like my life to be victorious. I would like that. But do we like it enough to do it? That's the big question. You have to ask yourself when you look in the mirror, do I want a victorious life enough to do it? So we need to control our life, we need to control our tongue, we need to control the things that go into us. You know, always heard about computers. They say garbage in, garbage out. We put garbage into our life, garbage comes out of our life. If you want good, wholesome stuff to come out of your life, you put good, wholesome stuff in. That's scripture reading, memorization. Holy Spirit, all of those things will keep us from becoming lukewarm. I don't think anybody really wants to be a lukewarm Christian. And I think if you asked anybody in a church and you went up and said, are you lukewarm? They go, oh, no, I'm not. But by their fruits, you will know where they are. So you just have to look at people's lives and say, are they lukewarm or are they hot or are they cold? It's pretty evident by the works and the fruits of their life, how they live, what they do. You know, what comes before church? How many things come before church? How many things come before preaching? You know, just coming to church doesn't mean a thing. You know, I'm sure anybody that's knocked on doors say, oh, yeah, I can worship on the top of the mountain. And that's very, very true. So coming to church doesn't mean a thing other than the assembling of ourselves together to help each other and to hear preaching. It's the point of the whole thing. We can do that if we want to decide, okay, next Sunday we're going to hold church up on top of Lookout Pass. You all come. And we all went up there. We can have a church service. Doesn't matter where we meet. It matters what we do when we meet, right? It matters what we learn. It matters what we put in. It matters what comes out. If we're putting the right stuff in, we will no longer be a casual Christian. you know, remember, convenient Christianity produces lukewarm Christians. It's what we need to remember. Is our Christianity just convenient? We just do it when it's convenient? Or do we live a life with the mind of Christ? So let's have a word of prayer and we'll go. Dear Father, we just ask that you would be with us, guide us, keep us safe, keep us in your will, Father, keep us under your wing. I just pray, Father, that something I said this morning would ring a bell. Father, watch over us and guide us. Be with the pastor as he brings a message. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.